I'm here today having lunch with Paul Deitch, the man behind Surrey Heath Residents Network. And we're here at the Windlesham Public House in Windlesham, at Windle W. Shum, if you want to get on Twitter. I just want to ask Paul a little bit about background as to why you started the Surrey Heath Residents Network. Where did it come from? What was the idea behind it?
Well, it started off, I moved to Deepcut in 2003 to Dettingen Park. And Dettingen Park is a private estate, so whereby most people who pay their council tax get their grass verges cut by the council and the light bulbs changed in their lampposts. That doesn't happen at Dettingen Park. We have to do it all ourselves. And there was a management company that was looking after Dettingen Park at the time called Peveril OM. And they weren't performing. They were providing terrible customer service. We were paying a lot of money every year and not getting a lot in return for it. So to cut a long story short, because of the demographic of the type of person that lives at Dettingen Park, busy A1 professionals who commute long distances and all the rest of it, it was very difficult to get them to attend public meetings to try and resolve the problems that we were having with the management company. So I had the idea to set up a web forum so that residents could communicate with each other, and actually 97-98% of all the problems that we had were resolved online, which finally resulted finally resulted in us removing the management company and taking control of our own destiny.
How did you get them to join the forum? What process did you use? Because you've got that number of people to get together. That's difficult. How did you do that?
Well, yeah, you're right. There was 350 houses on Dettingen Park. I literally went door to door and said to them, look, you know, and to be honest with you, getting the support was easy once I had somebody to speak to. But it was hard work knocking on every door because everybody had a common interest. There was nobody on that development happy with the service they were getting from the management company. So that bit was actually easy. But it was physical work going round and getting the support.
When I first met you was quite a few years ago at Camley Theatre. And there was, I can't remember what the event was, but you were there dressed in green, different shades of green, as a first responder with all your kit and little red bags, and you're very keen to explain the value of it. And I was very impressed, very enthusiastic guy. How did you come to be a first responder, and how did that help? How did that fit in with the resident network?
Well, what happened was is that one of my neighbours, a guy called Fraser Rowbotham, a terrific guy, a paramedic on the Hampshire and Isle of Wight Air Ambulance, knocked on my door one day and said, Paul, is there any chance we could use the residents network to promote an idea that I've had? And I went, well, go on then, what's the idea? And he said, well, community first responders. And he explained the principle of first responders, which are basically volunteers in the community. They're the ambulance service equivalent of special constables. So if you ring 999 for an ambulance in Surrey Heath, there's a very good chance that the first person on scene will be a volunteer. You'll be equipped with a lot of equipment, £2,500 worth of equipment, a defibrillator, oxygen therapy, and all the first aid stuff that they need. And the idea is, because if the worst happens and you stop breathing and your heart stops beating, every second counts. And because first responders are based in the community and you can't have an ambulance on every single street corner, the idea is that the first responder arrives on scene, starts the chest compressions, has a defibrillator there to restart the heart if necessary.
I know this is slightly digressing, but didn't I read on your Surrey Heath Residents Network that you're involved in something similar in Bagshot? Have you got some sort of little project going there?
Yeah, actually, that's across the borough. That was last Friday, actually. Yeah, we launched a public access defibrillator. And the idea of that, because these defibrillators, they're called AEDs, which stands for Automated External Defibrillator. And the idea is that you don't have to have any training to operate one. It literally tells you what to do. So if you ring 999 in Bagshot, for an ambulance and say there's somebody here, they've stopped breathing, what do I do? An ambulance will be dispatched automatically, but also the dispatcher on the phone can tell you where the defibrillator is. Go and get the defibrillator, or send somebody to go and get the defibrillator, and that could actually save somebody's life. So the idea is that we're going to have these defibrillators in every village of the borough. At the moment, we've got one in Bagshot and we've got one in Deepcote, but I would like to see one in every village.
Excellent, that's terrific. We'll make sure we get one for light water. We'll make sure we're at the top of the queue. One of the other things I noticed, I'm a member of your email or your email list, and I get regular circular emails from people looking for advice on certain things, and whether it be tradespeople or other sorts of things. How does that fit in, and where did that start? How did that come together with the residents' network?
Actually, that was the very first. I said the forum was the first. It wasn't. The email list was first. How it works is a very, very simple principle. There's a generic email address. There's several generic email addresses, actually, but one of them is community@deepcut-residents.co.uk. And all you got to do is go to the web page, put your email address in. You get an email from the server. It's all automatic. You get an email from the server to say you've subscribed to this list. Click link to confirm your subscription. Once you've done that, you're a member of the list. And as a member of the list, you can send an email to that generic email address, and it will reach everybody on that list. At the moment, there's several thousand subscribers. Quite a powerful tool, really, especially when you're trying to get support. At the moment, most people use it to say, I don't know, can you recommend an electrician or a plumber? It seems to be used a lot for that. But it's also quite an effective tool as a counsellor to say there's a consultation going on, or there's a planning application that you might want to look at. So it's a really, really effective communication tool.
One of the things is I've been a blogger, not as popular, not as big as his residence network.
Oh, it's doing all right though, isn't it, Tim?
2007, so I've been at it a long time. What I recognised is the importance of moderation. Now, a lot of people don't quite understand what a moderator does. And some people feel that you're controlling things unrealistically, but you're trying hard to cut out bad language, that sort of thing. How do you moderate the residents' network? What principles and policies do you put in place?
Well, first of all, the blog that I use, which is the same as yours, or rather the platform, which is WordPress, has a very powerful moderation tool included in that. And in fact, I'm an iPhone user. I know you're a BlackBerry user. I used to be a BlackBerry user. But on my iPhone, I have an app, a WordPress app, which wherever I am in the world, if somebody posts a comment on the Residents Network blog, I can accept or reject that comment wherever I am, which makes it instantaneous almost. But moderation is really important for several reasons. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. But the thing is that the owner of a blog, or the person who holds the intellectual property rights, let's say, has a responsibility to make sure that the information that's put on there is accurate. In particular, with businesses, there's been a recent case. I won't mention any names because I don't think that that's fair. But there's been a recent case locally where a blog has posted material or allowed material to be posted on that blog, which could be deemed as slander or defamation or incorrect information, which could have a detrimental impact on that business. And the business, in this case, decided to threaten legal action. Now, as far as I'm aware, it didn't go to court or anything like that, and it was settled out of court. But for the longevity of the residents' network, it's important that we, you know, there are people out there that have their own agendas for whatever reason, whether it be political, whether it be for business purposes or whatever. You know, there's always normally an ulterior motive, and I think that the idea of moderation is to try and give a bit of balance, really.
Oh, agreed entirely, absolutely agreed. You mentioned longevity. Where do you see, I mean, you've been, you know, the residents' blog has been growing rapidly.
It's taken a massive leap forward recently.
Oh, no. The amount of podcasts you do and video blogs and the number of contributors you've got, it's just getting bigger and bigger. Where do you see it going? What future do you see for the Residents Network?
Well, I'd like to roll it out across Surrey, really. We do have a sister site in Runnymede. So there is a Runnymede Residents Network. The thing is, though, the difficulty is, the reason why the Surrey Heath, without blowing my own trumpet or anything like that, but the reason why the Surrey Heath Residents Network is so successful is because I'm here to drive it. I'm at every event going, or if I'm not there, I have volunteers. We've got some incredible contributors, yourself, one of them, who go to events and capture what's going on there. It's difficult to spread that across different areas, and once you start doing that, it kind of dilutes it, because you can only be in one place at a time. So the trick is really to get as many volunteers like yourself who have an interest in the community and what's going on, their genuine interest, and hope that they can contribute in some way, or in a similar way that I do in Surrey Heath. Now, we've got someone over, got a couple of people over in Runnymede. The Runnymede Residents Network at the moment is not quite as big as the Surrey Heath one, but it's growing at a lovely rate. And the idea is I'm going to redevelop the site so that there's a Surrey-wide residents network, and hopefully we'll have contributors right across Surrey.
No, well, the fantastic value of the Surrey Heath Resident Network is it goes to all of the events. It doesn't say it's got to be a big event. It can be very small. It can be a very small focused charitable event, or just an individual who's done something noteworthy in the borough, charitably or for themselves. And that makes it a very powerful tool for information. It's things that the weekly newspaper just doesn't, it's weekly, it doesn't cover things. And the good thing about
and it
a network...
Can't, no. It can't cover things. It can't be, like the Residents Network, it can't be in two places at once, and there's only so much it can do.
No, so I find that's the... And it's an area where you're interested. Every day there are new things on there, and you're not sure what's going to be there. And also, each of us live in a part of Surrey Heath. You know what's going on in your little part. You certainly don't know what's going on elsewhere. I recently went to the Mitchett Beer Festival. Hugely promoted.
Wasn't it fantastic?
It was amazing. Brilliant. Absolutely terrific. Yeah. But the value of the Surrey Heath Residents Network is to promote events like that, which have a huge effect locally, because they're generating income for the social club.
Well, it's not just the events as well, Tim. It's these charitable organisations, voluntary groups, community groups. The thing is that when I was a first responder and I was setting up the first responder schemes, I come from a sales and marketing background, so... Fundraising.
That's no surprise.
Fundraising, recruitment of volunteers, and just getting out there in the community and promoting it is something that comes naturally to me. But there are other community groups and voluntary organisations that do just as worthwhile work, but they're so busy doing what they're doing and focused on that, that either they forget to promote themselves or they just don't know how to. And actually, the Residents Network provides that conduit to the community, so not just to promote the events but also to promote the groups there. I was at on Sunday actually at the St George's Parade at St Michael's Church in Camberley. You know, there was 400 kids there, and the one of the scout leaders said that they used that opportunity to recruit volunteers, because he says without volunteers the scouts doesn't exist. And there are lots of groups like that that rely on volunteers, and I hope that the Residents Network can shine some light on those types of groups.
Paul Deitch, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and here at the Windle Public House in Windlesham, nice sunny day, lovely conversation. Paul, excellent, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Tim, and actually while we're here we've had an idea for this. Dinner with Tim Dodds, I think, is a new podcast series that I think we ought to identify some people in the community that you can share with the rest of us.
Conversations with Tim Dodds. I might not be able to run to dinner every time, but conversations with Tim Dodds. I think I'm happy to do that because I think there's lots of really interesting people in the borough. And the residence network is a wonderful means of getting the information out to people. And people are just interested. It doesn't always concern hot topics like deep cut development or road problems. It's just sometimes just nice uplifting things about what good people have done, good things that they've done. And it's just a good thing to have. And this is, I'd love to see it rolled out to the rest of Surrey, because we'd put Surrey up there as being the best in the country in terms of resident communication.
Absolutely. Community engagement, that's what it's all about. Tim, thanks very much.
A pleasure.